How do you do, everyone? We bring you Jim Tully, the former road kid from Ohio, whose life and rise in the writing world has had no parallel in fiction or fantasy. Jim Tully brings us a brief story of the life of Clark Gable, whom he has known and watched climb from a farm boy to the most outstanding personality on the silver screen. Well, Jim, what have you got to say about Clark Gable?
Well, I'd say, Lee, that Clark Gable is a miracle among actors. He resembles Jack Dempsey in physique and contour of head and face. He also has the power and gentleness of the great bruiser. Like Dempsey, his roots go down deep into life. From his grandmother, he learned the principles of living that have guided him ever since. There can be no harvest without first tilling the soil and sowing the seed. That life is a great adventure on a far and winding road, and that a smile is always welcome, even when the heart is sad. An accident in his childhood brought him into contact with a bluff village doctor. For some years, he decided to study medicine. After graduating from high school, he went to Akron, Ohio, with the hope of working his way through medical school. He secured work in a factory where he met a young actor down on his luck. He struck up a friendship with Clark and said to him, "Why don't you come and see me act? I'll take you back of the wings." When Gable called on his friend, the young actor let him look through the peephole of a curtain. For the first time, he saw the sea of expectant faces beyond. His life was changed. He knew then that he would never be a doctor. After nearly a year, Gable joined a little traveling theatrical company in Kansas City. It played in churches, barns, theaters, wherever possible in all the western states. The young actor was happy. At last, to make the history of such adventures complete, the company stranded in Butte, Montana. Gable counted his assets on a bitterly cold morning. He had one nickel. His 5 cents would get him coffee and rolls. Beyond that, what does it matter when one is young and wants to be an actor? He went into a washroom to douse the sleep from his eyes. A genial dark nuisance began to brush his clothes. He whisked the broom so affectionately about poor Clark's neck that the future actor gave him his one and only nickel. Later that evening, standing in front of the well-lit all-night restaurant, he saw a man approaching who was gloriously inebriated. The drunk proved to be a godsend to Clark Gable. He invited him into the restaurant for ham and eggs. Later that night, they were on a freight train together, bound for Portland. "Take this," said Jack Bates, "so if we get separated, you'll have eaten money." He handed Clark $5. They remained together for several days and then became separated. Clark's money was gone when he reached Portland. Eventually, he found his way to Hollywood. For months, he haunted the studios without obtaining work. His money gone, his position hopeless. At last, when one morning he stood in a group of men from which 12 of the tallest were selected, Gable was among them. His real start came when Lewis McClune produced Romeo and Juliet on the stage with Jane Cowell as the star. A tall soldier was needed to carry a spear. Clark was chosen. Part followed part, with lapses of hardship verging on hunger in between. At the end of the theatrical season, he received a wire from his old friend, Lewis McClune. Would he play Killer Mears in the Los Angeles production of The Last Mile? He would, and did. Who that saw him in that role can ever forget his tremendous portrayal? Vital, tigerish, terrifying, the stage rocked under him. Still under the torrent turned loose by Gable, Lionel Barrymore said to me, "Make no mistake about this lad. He has the fire of a wild stallion." John Barrymore joined us. "We've seen something tonight," he said. "The rest is a brilliant and vital page in the history of the screen." "You've had a great success, Clark," I recently said to him. "What would you rather do now more than anything else in the world?" The answer was, "I'd like to find Jack Bates, the bird who gave me that $5.
Thank you, Jim Tully. Tomorrow at the same time, we will hear another interesting story by Jim Tully around the life of another outstanding personality in the world today. Lee Trent speaking.